Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tom on the Radio with your host, Tom O'Neill.
Well, I guess as Green Announcer Extraordinaire Amy Haynes says, it is now time to separate the men from the boys. So since there are only two of us on the line here right now, you take your pick on who's the man and who's the boy. I'm Tom O'Neill. Welcome to another spine-tingling edition of Tom on the Radio. And if I can't do this show, well, I can do this show, but it'd be a very short show if it weren't for this man. I guess he is the man among boys in this conversation. He is not the intergender champion of the world, but he thinks about it. Steve Baxley, how the heck are you, big guy?
Good evening, Tom. How are you this evening? I am doing great. I am ready to rock and roll. I'm ready to punch in, punch out, sing a song, and just do the right thing, baby. I am ready.
I wonder about you, Steve. It sounds like you've been waiting all day for this.
Oh, boy, have I ever.
Yeah. So let's get a couple of housekeeping things out of the way. My girl, Hampton Roads TV News icon, Barbara Sierra, returned to the airwaves today after being out 6 weeks due to a double knee replacement. She's still hopping along, but she's back to doing what she does best, and I'm so happy that she is among the news anchors at News 3. By the way, Steve, they inaugurated a new set a couple of weeks ago, and it looks fabulous. It looks major market. So,
finally they grew up. I said finally, Channel 3 grew up,
yeah. I mean, we're talking since the 90s they had that set, but now they have a brand new set. They actually had to gutter the entire studio because there was some asbestos in that studio, so they had to clean out the studio and then put the set in, which is why it took so long. But
yeah, I understand
what
that not
say?
Only...
What did they say?
I was
going to... Worth the wait?
I was going to say, besides this asbestos, they found a curse for Channel 3, so they had to bring in an exorcist. The bad mojo, the bad management out. Bad owners. Bye-bye.
Yeah. I'm not going to say bad owners because the GM of that place is now working his magic down in Orlando.
Ooh.
But the thing is, you're right. It was the new ownership of Tribune Media now owns Channel 3 as well as Channel 6 in Richmond. And they've really cleaned up the look at the News 3. So congratulations,
yeah.
Barbara. Congratulations to everyone in that historic building that I used to work at.
Yeah, and believe it or not, I like the new look of what I will now say CBS 3 Virginia.
Well, they would rather call it News 3. They don't want to be carbon copied to their sister station up in Richmond. But we'll see what happens. Time will only tell what happens, but I'm glad Barbara is back. And she looked like $1 million first day back on the anchor desk. So with that being said, yeah. So and like I said, you know, even though you're in Michigan, you spent some time here in my neck of the woods, so you know what goes on here. So I find that very comforting to know. Now we got that out of the way. Let's see. Is it lions or is it tigers? Lions. If it's lions, I think you got to call the priest. And if it's the tigers, it's more of a postmortem. I tell you, there have been some major league firings today. They call it resignations, but let's just say in the Arizona Diamondbacks case, they not only fired the manager, Skip Hale, but they also fired the general manager, Dave Stewart. In Colorado, Walt Weiss, quote unquote, resigned. And Rick Renteria, who used to manage the Chicago Cubs, will now get to do the same thing on the South Side with the White Sox. There was one non-managerial firing today, although they will not call it a firing, consider where it came from. Barry Bonds will not be back as hitting coach of the Miami Marlins.
So, ouch.
Yeah. So, you know, how should I say? They have improved, the Marlins did, but they were still in the lower third when it comes to batting average and run scores. So I guess their thinking is, we will go in be proverbial another direction.
Yeah, I tell you, the Marlins, oh, man.
Yeah, which leads us to somebody that I think will be next to go, and that is Brad Ausmus of the Tigers. And I say he should be the next to go because he is not under contract anymore. His contract expired the last game of the season. That's throwing the dice in terms of trying to keep employment. But I think that's just cutting a little too close, if you ask me. Or either that or he has nothing else out there for him. Because Mr. Illich is getting another year older.
Mm-hmm.
And that
door is getting a little close to that door of opportunity is getting more and more close to being closed.
He was nowhere near contender.
Although we forget to mention one thing. Yes, they did get knocked out of the wild card race, but unlike last year, this year, second place. It's not bad. It may not be first, but still, it was somewhat of a tiny improvement.
I have to disagree with you, Steve. You know what I'm going to say. Close only counts when horseshoes and hand grenades.
This is true.
They may have improved, but they didn't get the prize. And that prize is they should at least play the wild card game tomorrow night. But greatly surprised that Brad Austin is back for another year. The Tigers can't find a manager of their liking unless they go down to Toledo and bring up Lloyd McClendon.
Yeah, or maybe the bench coach, the guy that took over for Brad when he had to take care of a little personal business.
Well, Gene Lamont?
Yeah, and remember, under Gene Lamont, briefly, the Tigers had a two-game winning streak with them.
Yeah, but I also could be telling you also that they tuned out Brad Austin, not necessarily that Gene Lamont did the job.
True. But you want to know something?
I know you're trying to I know you're trying to spin the glass being half full, but the social retirement over near Detroit, it hits our new system. I just feel like, granted, it's a long season, and the Tigers played 161 games this year, but I feel like you could do better the last game of the year. You should not have your season come down to one game.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And they did.
A good point. A good point you make.
They went down in flames to the Atlanta Braves in Atlanta's last game in Atlanta, which is another story in itself.
But you want to know something, Tom? If they are truly going to look for a manager, I have an idea on who it should be built, who the manager should be. Someone with the acumen of, let's say, the Chicago Cubs manager.
You mean somebody like that?
Yes. Someone who could build a team from the ground up and take them to where they should be, which is the World Series. I mean, we know what Joe has done for the Cubs, but imagine the Tigers hire someone with the same kind of pedigree and thought process as what the Cubs have.
Yeah, I'm not ready. I don't think Joe is ready for a retread. I just get this feeling. Well, then again, he thought out the box by bringing Brad Austin, and then we see what happened. But what else are you going to do?
True.
And like I said, starting this conversation off, Mr. Phillips is pushing 90.
Yeah, in fact, he had a press release that his son is going to attend the winter meetings.
Ooh, that's a nice piece of news.
Mm-hmm.
Getting younger, yeah, as they say. Maybe yeah. Is it Christopher that's going to take over the team? Maybe not take over the team per se, but that Mike Yelich is letting his son go to the winter meetings, that's volume.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's doing this just to give Chris a little taste of what is coming.
Yeah.
And boy, won't that be fun?
Yeah. So. It's just that I'm just sad that the season went down to the last days. The season went to hell when they lost not just the Sunday game but the Saturday game, because that kind of put all the pressure on the Tigers to win, and they didn't show up. You would think that this was the Tigers' last game in Atlanta, which it was. But I'm talking about they came out with no urgency, and they led a last-place team, but they were an inspired last-place team, come out and just give them a whooping.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this. It was nice to see, although in the losing cause, it was nice to see Justin Verlander at his best.
Yeah. So, however, we can't say that about the Mets when at their best. But there is no freaking way that the Tigers should have lost an important game like that the way they did. Now, granted, it turns out that it really didn't matter because the two teams ahead of them won also, but I just think that they could have found a game somewhere in the last 2 to 3 weeks that they could have gotten a game closer, so they would have played today. But
I agree with you. I agree with you.
So that's why I'm saying if Brad Ausmus is in spring training for the Tigers next year, I would be greatly surprised. And if I was in Detroit, I would kind of waffle in terms of renewing my season ticket.
Mm-hmm.
I would waffle. I mean, you know.
But speaking of bad teams, let's talk the Lions, shall we? Let's talk the Lions.
Why?
The only good thing that has happened to the Lions.
And as I'm saying, as I'm saying about the Tigers, I'm saying about the Lions. I didn't even see the highlights yesterday from the Green Bay game. Let's remember, I am in Virginia, and if you're not Redskins, Steelers, Giants, Cowboys, you're not seen. The only times we see the Lions every year is Thanksgiving. But I feel your pain. Let's say it like that. And
yes. I was about to say the only good thing this year about the Lions was the cheerleaders.
Yeah, but as we know, cheerleaders can only take you so far.
Oh, yes.
I mean, the bottom line still is the win. And I can't, you know, having cheerleaders is like putting a lipstick on a pig. I mean, it's a good-looking pig, but it's a pig nonetheless.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to discount pigs, but there was such optimism. It just seems like it has gone to hell in the last couple of weeks. They're back to the same old sorry-ass line.
Yes, and this time I think the new thing that's going to be on the menu soon will be barbecued Caldwell butt.
Then the next question is, do they have somebody on that coaching staff that could be the head coach?
Well, I will state for the moment that I think Jim Caldwell, if he doesn't improve things quickly, by the time we get to the halfway point of the season, he might want to look at some want ads.
And he doesn't want to look at Jim Bob Cooter. That might be his replacement.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't. I'm not optimistic, but I can only think of one other team, and I saw them yesterday. I can only think of one other team that's worse than the Lions, and that's the Cleveland Browns. But at least in the last couple of weeks, they showed some grit and some fight, but they don't know how to close games. The Lions are not even in games.
Oh, man. By the way, speaking of Cleveland Browns, it has been confirmed, ABC, with their success of game shows, they're bringing back the Gong Show.
Who's bringing it back?
ABC, because of the successful hits of To Tell the Truth, Family Feud, Celebrity Family Feud, Match Game, and the $100,000 Pyramid, they are bringing back the Gong Show.
Oh, my God. Now, the next question is, who plays the Chuck Bear-ass role? I mean,
well,
this Gong Show, if you remember, and I'm sure a lot of people do, the Gong Show was Chuck Ferris.
Oh, yes.
And then I hope they bring back somebody that could play Gene Gene the Dancing Machine.
Oh, that would be a riot.
I think that's a great idea. I mean,
in fact, you'll never guess who the producer is. And I hope I don't screw up his name. Will Arnett will be producing the project.
No, Will Arnett is an accomplished actor and producer.
That's right. And I wouldn't put it past him to pull a Chuck Barris and not only be the producer, but the host.
Well, if Chuck Barris is up to it, I mean, he's no spring chicken.
No, but would it be nice to have Chuck Barris back to introduce the new host?
Please put him on the payroll as a consultant if he can't do the show. I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you're going to tell me is ABC is picked up I Got a Secret.
Well, let's put it this way. The way they've been going on with bringing back game shows and all the success they have, I wouldn't doubt it.
I wouldn't either. Because I think they have a gold mine, doing game shows. Is this going to be during the summer, or are they going to make this a mid-season replacement?
I think if they stay with the plan, it's going to be summer. It's going to be like the other game shows they have, the summer.
That's going to be more than one night.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't put it past them to put it as a follow. No, not as a follow, but as a as the start of. Let's just put it that way. Right next to to tell the truth. Put it right next to it. Covet that night.
That would be great. I enjoy fun and games. It doesn't cost the network that much money, and they make a killing.
Oh, yes.
That's great. so then we got a little. Oh, wait for me. I don't know where to go with this next one, Steve. I'm sure we all heard today that Kim Kardashian West allegedly was robbed of $10 million worth of jewels in her hotel room by some guys dressed up in masks and in police uniforms. Allegedly, they accosted the concierge to tell them where Kim Kardashian's room is. They busted in the room, tied her up, threw her in the closet, stole the jewels. Kanye West was performing at the Citi Field in New York and cut the concert short when he was informed that his wife was robbed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where to go with this, Steve. I mean, for one, it's kind of weird to have this happen because Kim Kardashian hasn't been in the news lately.
Yeah, that's true. She's sort of been, as they say, laying low. And let's not forget, in Paris, it is against the law for the tabloid press to even go near a celebrity. But if it wasn't for the tabloid press, if it wasn't for the press in general, she would have been, you'll forgive the expression, not of this world anymore.
Yeah, and why in the hell does she keep $10 million of jewels in a hotel room?
Yeah, I mean, they're in Paris. The celebrities are supposed to be safe. And, I mean, to agree with your one thing, why? Why do you bring so much to Paris? I mean,
I wouldn't even keep $100 in my hotel room, let alone $10 million. I think it's an inside job. In some ways, I think it's an inside job.
I got to agree with you. I will again say allegedly, but if true, I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but if it is true, this has got to be the wake-up call for not only Kim, but Kanye West and the whole Kardashian clan that maybe it's time to draw back the curtain on your life. go back to being private.
Yeah, but the thing is, the desire to fix what they got.
Yes.
Every media outlet in the world reported on this. Twitter blew up. Facebook, I bet, blew up. And
Twitter blew up. Facebook blew up. Everything literally blew up with Kim Kardashian.
I mean, her life is being talked about.
Yep.
And she hasn't been talked about lately. So whether it was a setup or it actually happened, just too much coincidental that I'm thinking about. They think about this was truly a random robbery, because I mean, to accost the concierge to tell them where Kim Kardashian's hotel room is.
Yeah, that one thing, that's a little suspicious.
It's a little suspicious. And you could split $10 million of jewels in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure it's all insured, but still, we'll see in the following days if there's a backstory to this. Now, I would like to take her at her word, but we've seen the track record of her and this family in the past few years that all that glitters is not gold.
Yeah, it's sort of like that old saying, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on you.
This kind of sounds like the political Wheel of Fortune we have now. We don't keep an eye on our respective shows, Last Call Cafe, 11.6. We don't really get into the political side of this presidential election. But this is too good for us to not at least tackle it. LeBron James today endorsed Hillary Clinton at a time where Hillary Clinton was in Akron at a voter registration event. So you know, if LeBron James says, I am endorsing this candidate, his followers in Akron are going to follow him. They're going to register and they're going to vote. I don't know if this is going to push Hillary over in Ohio, but her chances are in 24 hours.
Well,
and apparently the debate treatment that Saturday Night Live gave it last Saturday with Alec Baldwin playing the Donald gave SNL its best ratings in 8 years.
Let's put it this way, SNL is back.
Yeah, they
didn't
killed wait.
It. Mm-hmm.
They killed it.
Plus, with Alec Baldwin playing the Donald, NBC inadvertently gives ABC a little press on their Sunday night game shows.
And I'm sure he's thinking to himself, you know that Donald Trump is a blank. So, Steve, for the last few minutes of our show this week, God, I hope I get my smartphone fixed tomorrow. I may have to get my different data piggy bank and come up with another one. I don't need that, but I need my smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
DNA. And according to what you said on your Facebook page, Q children. Do you get the feeling that one of the reasons why they killed it was because it was like an on-air audition for some of their talent, just in case this pulls the trigger?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I will tell you what happened. I mean, I was expecting another boring pay-per-view, but TNA surprised me, shocked me, stunned me. They did it right. Finally, they did it right. And for the first time ever, I congratulate Billy Corgan, Dixie Carter, and what's left of the TNA creative department.
So it was full of nonstop action last night.
Well, let's put a TNA Grand Championship. That was awesome with the former Damian Sandow coming out on top against one of the former American Wolves known as, I think, Eddie Edwards. If I screw up the name, my apologies. Jeremy Borash should get the Academy Award for Best Producer because him and the TNA production crew pulled off the best match ever with Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy versus Decay. It was Delete or Decay. The story concludes, and, oh, man, they went everywhere, out into the Universal Studios parking lot, even out of the resort. They kicked it good, and then they had the final match, Bobby Lashley versus EC3, and I tell you, man, this match, the main event for the TNA title was what the company needed. They needed that signature match to say, hey, we're not done. We're not out. We're not if this is our last pay-per-view, we're going out with a bang, and they did. Bobby Lashley and Ethan Carter III just pulled out every stop, and the whole night was killer, was very good.
Well, there are ulterior motives to the goodness of this card, because I firmly believe that Vince is going to buy it. And the creme de la creme of talent will be going to NXT. Everything else is going to fold, and they're going to get the video library.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a lot of rumors last night, from Hulk Hogan to maybe the folks that own this multimedia network called Fight TV. But I just got this feeling that Dixie Carter and Billy Corgan have one big surprise for us. And I wouldn't be that surprised if Billy Corgan has another business partner with him. They not only buy TNA, but they merge it with his former promotion, Resistance Pro, out of Chicago.
Okay. And what's the significance of that?
Well, you know, Billy Corgan and two of his friends from Chicago, they started up a promotion called Resistance Pro Wrestling, which was literally out of this world, no holds barred wrestling that made WWE very afraid. Billy Corgan owns a little bit of TNA. He's brought that portion of his acumen, of his wrestling knowledge, and his promoter skill to TNA, and the result last night was dynamite. Could you imagine if Billy Corgan and a couple of business partners of his convinced Dixie to sell the rest of her stake, TNA will have what they've always wanted to have. They'll have the money. They'll have the wrestlers. and they will have the improvements they need to take on a very sagging WWE.
Which means they're going to have to get a new TV package.
Yeah, that's going to be one big problem. Pop TV may want to discontinue their relationship, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens. I personally hope somebody besides WWE comes out and buys them. From what I saw last night, the men and women of TNA, they want TNA to be alive, and their audience reaction last night was just magnificent.
Well, that's good to hear, and now they gotta follow up on that.
Mm-hmm.
They gotta do what you just said they're going to do. They gotta get big. They gotta keep their talent. They gotta
mm-hmm.
get a better TV package. They gotta start touring.
That's right.
Yeah. So if they can do those things, cause I'm thinking the WWE is going to buy up what's left of TNA and just fold it, because that's the cheapest way to do things.
That's true.
You already got two live programs that come on every week. We're not even talking about NXT that comes on every Wednesday on the WWE Network. So I think you said they'll probably be like $4 million. That's chump change. They can make
mm-hmm.
that back in just the video library.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will agree that tape library's got to be worth about $4 million.
At least. that's exactly what they did. $4 million. Before we get out of here, there was one story that's making the rounds that has nothing to do with wrestling, of course. Is the story that the Detroit Pistons NBA basketball team may be leaving their home in 1988 and come back down and play in downtown Detroit.
Interesting.
Very.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I read an article that they're having serious negotiations with the Olympia Entertainment folks, and they are planning to build a new practice facility that's near the new Little Caesars Arena.
Interesting.
When you think about it, it's all about fan base. And Bill Davidson, who brought the Pistons from the city of Detroit to suburban Oakland County, he was trying to widen the fan base to include not just Detroit, not just Oakland County, but also to Lapeer County and Flint. Because in some ways, Auburn Hills is halfway between Flint and Detroit.
Uh-huh.
But I think fans' taste has changed since the late 80s, the mid to late 80s. I think especially you want to go somewhere that's an event. And if you're going to go to a basketball game, you might as well go downtown. I mean, all these, the new arena, the new parking, the new light rail. Detroit is looking up, and also it would be a great way to help pay off some of this debt that Mike Ilitch has found himself in with building this arena. I mean, just remember way back in the day, the Toronto Raptors talking about building a basketball arena, and the Maple Leafs were going to build a new hockey arena. But then, smarter heads prevail, and the Toronto Raptors and the Maple Leafs said, hey, that new hockey arena you were building, why don't you retrofit it to make it somewhat of a basketball arena so the two teams can play in? And that's what happened here.
I like what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I like what Tom Gores is thinking. I think he's saying in order to get the fan base back, in order to get decent players to come play for the Pistons, you have to change the climate.
That's right.
And, I mean, the Pistons are one of the few cities that have their bases in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know Cleveland used to play in the suburbs, and now they've moved downtown, and they're wildly successful, obviously, because they're the champs. But what you don't know is Sacramento, their old arena was in the suburbs. Now they're moving into a new arena downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, in about two to three more years, the Golden State Warriors are going to move to this downtown San Francisco. So I guess, you know, things are changing in terms of fan bases. I mean, you're not getting the wine and cheese fans that you used to have. You've got to get fans that are into the games, that will go to the games, that will scream their lungs out at games.
My kind of people.
My kind also. I mean, half the fun of a basketball game is the people.
Oh, yeah. Go crazy. Just don't go crazy on the court.
Oh, no. And with that, Steve, can you believe we made it for another unexpurgated version of Tom on the Radio, and we talked about all of the topics that I wanted to hit on? And, well, I didn't hit on her, but hey, well, that's another story. But, I will see you Friday at your man cave called the Last Call Cafe. And today the Brave Man was a little late for the last episode, but he came in. And I will see you then. And hopefully I will be okay because I go into surgery Thursday morning.
Uh-huh.
So, I hope
as I like to say, prayers and vibes be with you.
Thank you very much. And hopefully I will be on your show Friday, and hopefully I'll be back here next Monday for another edition of Tom on the Radio, not necessarily because of my surgery, but I hope you have either a fixed phone or a new phone. Well, I got to have a phone, so...
Or we may do this show with smoke signals.
We might do. Oh, and there's one other thing I need to mention. Vince Scully, we love you. 67 years of one baseball team, and he got out when he wanted to get out. So
mm-hmm.
I'm very happy for him. I saw all the accolades. I saw his sign out for his last game. And that man is all heart, and he's all class. So I'm glad that he went out on his terms.